I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Attention.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show.
This show right now is leaking confidence.
Data message rates apply. National contest.
It's Unicorn Cash Time on 92.9. Every hour, weekdays from... Right now.
Unicorn Cash now. Jeff Calkins, we have cash to give away with the cash code every hour. Here we are firing it up on a Monday as I get the code word list together. This hour's code word for the first code is the word auto. A-U-T-O. Text the word auto. A-U-T-O to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. So here's how this works. Every hour at the top, you have a chance to win $1,000. This hour, the code word is auto. A-U-T-O. And your next code is coming up at 10 a.m. Again, text the word to 72881. Good luck.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you better run. Yeah, I predict an earthquake.
And happy Monday.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about
to... No spoilers for me because I don't know. I don't know them to give them. Spoiler though alert is that Brad is sitting in for Jeffrey today.
Jeffrey had a wedding over the weekend.
Yeah, Jeffrey. Not his own.
Not his own.
Nope. But Jeffrey is going to join us in the next segment.
Okay.
We'll talk to him about the NFL draft, which was fun.
Yeah, it
was. I enjoyed it. I do wish that in the end they had gotten one of those bachelorettes to make one of the picks. They had picks from all over by all kinds of people, right?
Yeah.
Why couldn't they have brought one of the bachelorettes up to make one of the picks?
That actually would have made a lot of sense.
I think it would have. Captured the whole spirit of the thing.
Can you imagine walking on stage in Nashville to Nashville those, bachelorette visitors?
With one of those wiener necklaces.
Yeah, a phallic necklace.
Anyway,
good to see you, man.
So that was fun. We'll talk to Jeffrey at 9:25 or 30 or so.
Yep.
The both Darrell Henderson and Tony Pollard have to be pretty pleased with where they ended up. Darrell Henderson going to the Rams and so that's interesting because it raises certain questions about what the Rams running back situation will be. Obviously, Todd Gurley is the highest paid running back in the league and mysteriously disappeared at the end of last year. And then Malcolm Brown, they matched his deal that Detroit was going to sign him to, and so they have him. But I do believe it is a – there were some people who were saying, oh, what a terrible thing to end up behind Todd Gurley. I don't believe that at all. I think it's a tremendously high-powered offense, yeah, and he'll be fabulous in it. And there are obviously concerns about Todd Gurley, or they wouldn't have moved up to draft him. So good for Darrell Henderson.
Yep.
And then Tony Pollard going to the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
Fourth round. I mean, honestly, for both of them, it's about as high as I could have expected either to go. Yeah. And Tony Pollard is being seen as a change of pace back for Ezekiel Elliott. And you will certainly be able to watch him a lot on TV,
yeah,
right?
I mean, absolutely.
There's no question we'll be able to see a lot of Tony Pollard.
Trust me, those Cowboys fans, they chronicle everything.
He's not disappearing.
No.
So
no.
Anyway, we'll talk about the NFL draft with Jeffrey when he joins us later on in this hour. Chris Harrington, of course, 10 o'clock always, and a lot of NBA stuff to get to with Chris Harrington, including locally the news that Tayshaun Prince has been elevated to vice president. My understanding is that offer was on the table for Tayshaun Prince from the very beginning. As soon as they made the changes, that Tayshaun Prince had been offered that gig and pondered it for a while.
What does later you can answer this question, but I want to know what that means. How does that change for him? Does it, you know, I think it
formalizes his position, and what they obviously, I mean, if you've seen, I mean, to the extent, I don't think there's been real criticism about it, but
no,
people have noted that it's a lot of geeky lawyers over there, right?
Yeah.
And I say that as a geeky lawyer, and I don't mean lawyers, they're former lawyers, right? But
they have law degrees.
That they need someone with who came up just mm-hmm. because you want different perspectives in the room,
right?
He yep. comes at it from the perspective of a former player.
Mm-hmm.
And so to know that Tayshaun's sticking around, that he's a smart guy, well-respected, and will have an important part in that front office, I think, is a good thing. But we'll ask Chris Harrington his views of it when he joins us at 9 o'clock. There is a whole lot to get to, but I thought there are three things I wanted to say up top. First, things are going to be a little different around the station today because I'll be here, and Jason and John will be here, and Gary will be here, but Eric Hasseltine will not be here.
No Eric today.
No Eric today, and I didn't get a chance to address it because the news came out after my show was done, but I deeply appreciated being a colleague of Eric for all these years. He was here well before. Well, I was here in a sort of sidekick role with Gary. It was the mm-hmm. Gary Pair Show with Jeff Calkins before Eric. But Eric was here with a full-time show well before I was. And it's funny. Eric brought a totally different style. He was in your face, like, and in a way that I appreciated.
Yes.
And so he has decided to stop, and I don't blame him at all, because he has he's got a young kid.
Yeah.
And B, he has another business, and C, he has a crazy life with the Grizzlies, and he is awesome at it. And so when people make life decisions, I totally respect that they did, but I will miss him, as a colleague here on 92.9, and I know that it's funny because you wonder when you do these shows if people listen, or I mean, we know that people listen because the numbers are big, but to see people the appreciation that he got after he made the announcement. And did you expect him to cry? I don't know. I expected him to cry. Like, he was
yeah,
breaking up.
I know Eric's an emotional guy, and you know, he and I have worked together for 8 years, and I think as well as I know Eric, working with him for those 8 years, this means a lot to Eric. It's one of the things I really love about listening to him. He's the most passionate guy we have on the radio station, and we'll continue to have with the Grizzlies. When he gets fired up, or when
right.
he gets sad,
right.
or when Gary, or when Eric gets emotional, he feels it, and you hear it. And
right,
I think
out.
It's what makes him...
It's some of his best radio.
And I said this both via email in-house and talking about Eric's skills. Eric, to me, is the best, and I mean this sincerely, is the very best at what he does, calling a game, not calling a television game. He calls it for radio, which means you've got to figure out how to sort of transfer the energy of the game.
Right.
Or if you're doing his show, 2 to 4, what he used to do, transferring that on the air. And I think that came across loud and clear. And yeah, I mean, we're going to miss him. He was a big part of building what we've have here from the last 10 years. He was here for eight of them as a full-time 2-4 host. So
I appreciated being his colleague and appreciated his work, and we'll miss him. What it means also is that Jeffrey, already the hardest working man in show business, is now at least going to be stepping in.
He's hosting the today 2-4, and he's our interim host. Yeah.
What are we gonna? What's the intro gonna be like? What are we gonna call this sucker?
It's Jeffrey Wright today from 2-4. We do this all the time on 92.9.
I know we do, but what's it gonna like? So the music starts playing. What's it gonna say?
You need to listen for a second and let me talk if you're gonna ask me a question.
It's my show, though. Go ahead.
Okay, you asked me the question.
I did.
Now I get to answer.
I had a second question, a follow up, even before I'd answered the first one.
I know.
Go ahead.
Yeah. See, here's how this works. You answer the question, then you listen, and then I, you know. Okay. So you asked, how's it gonna sound? Let me give you a sampler of exactly this will help the process. So let me pull up the pages, because there's hotkeys for these here in the studio. Let me find the hotkey. Live radio here. It'll sound something like this.
Now it's Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
And then when he comes back from the break, you're not going to believe it. Here's exactly how
What's
it's going to sound.
Now we're back with Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
We have not branded the show yet, Jeffrey and Jeff. Right. So that is exactly how the radio show will sound. You got a professional running this damn radio station. I don't know if you knew that or not.
You can look forward to that from 2-4 today. The other thing that's interesting, of course, about this whole thing is that we like to think that, it's funny. Like,
I know where you're going to go.
We created this station out of whole cloth 10 years ago. You know, all of us, you, me, Dan,
it's a team of people.
And we all assume that, and just like I used to assume at the commercial appeal, that I'm totally 100% indispensable, right?
Yes.
And what happens is you resign from the commercial appeal and you get lots of emails saying, boy, you're great. I'm going to miss you, whatever else. And in fairness, a lot of those people came and still read me at the Daily Memphian, and I appreciate that. But what we realize in life is that life goes on, and that's just true. And I will miss Eric, and I mean that true, but it's also true that if I left this show tomorrow, someone would step in here and the show rolls on, baby. That's how it goes.
Wouldn't be as good.
Anyway, you know, the show rolls on. So I appreciate being part of a station that is bigger than any one, you know, person, too. It's sort of a crazy station. It's a different station. Like, it is not a station.
There's no station like it in the country.
I listen to Buffalo Sports Talk all the time I'm running. And you know what they do? They talk about the Sabres and the Bills and 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 the Sabres and the Bills. And here,
probably smart there, by the way.
And it is smart.
Yeah, and it's exactly what they should.
Here it's different. Like, you won't hear a show like Gary's, and you won't hear a show like Jason and John's, and you won't hear a show like mine, and it's you wouldn't have a show like Eric's. They're just different.
Yeah.
And I've been appreciated being a part of it, so I'm going to hang on for a little bit longer. Anyway.
I think it's just like the city in a lot of ways. And I mean that. That is how most sports talk radio stations work. It shows you that our country is kind of very generic in parts and very baseball-y in parts.
Well, to me, what's amazing is not how generic our country is. What's amazing about this is how different our country is.
Well, you know,
you go to Buffalo, you go into a gas station, you don't get fried chicken, for example, in a gas station.
Well,
things are different. You would think we all watch the same TV, we all watch the same movies, we all get and yet you go to different parts of the country. The sensibilities are very different in different places.
I think that's exactly right. But I guess I'm speaking specifically about some radio stations that come to mind.
Oh, right.
I'll give you an example. In Tennessee, we always bash on Nashville. Mm-hmm. Stations in Nashville sound just like Nashville.
Right.
They're very vanilla. They're exactly like the city.
I know. Anyway, that's the first thing. I wanted to say thank you to Eric.
Thank you for giving a shout out to Eric.
I wanted to say thank you to Eric. Secondly, and I'm not going to dwell on this, Gary last week on your show gave out a Game of Thrones spoiler, and then
the Wingo show.
They were talking about whether they should do spoilers. Because there were obviously two huge cultural events over the weekend, right?
Yeah.
There was the movie, and there was the Game of Thrones.
I don't watch any of that stuff.
Avengers and Endgame.
Right? Not involved with it.
And Game of Thrones. So you and I can't give out spoilers.
No.
Y'all are safe. Yeah. If you're going to listen to one show today where you're not going to get a spoiler, this is it. But I do have a clear perspective on what you should spoil and what you should not. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, good.
It is absolutely BS to spoil a movie. To come out today and tell you what happened in Avengers and would be low.
I think that's fair.
That is low.
Yeah.
I know $1.2 billion worth of people saw it over the weekend, so a lot of people did.
Right.
But I think movies are meant to be around for a month, and you might get to them in the first weekend, you might get to them in the second weekend, but you shouldn't be penalized if you don't get to them till the second weekend. They're right. Movies. They're not a TV event, right? So to spoil a movie for someone is BS, I think. If I knew any things to spoil about the, I would not, because I think that's low. Right. And so if, and I think, I expect even GP agrees with this, because he was pro spoiler with the Game of Thrones. But I think when it comes to a movie, you can't. That's unfair. That's low.
I agree with you.
No spoiler. Now, when it comes to a TV show, I think that's different.
I don't know.
I think it's different. Gary said.
I don't think it's different.
You don't think you can ever talk about what happened on a TV show?
There's a statute of limitations on it.
Well, Gary talked about it the next day.
The
next
day?
First Game of Thrones, Gary talked about it the next day and thought it was fine. You think it's too soon?
A little too soon.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Unless you give a, say, hey, just for about 2 seconds here, turn down and then you can turn us back up. That kind of
thing. How long you, but the problem is by that token, like yesterday on Ringo, they were saying we're going
to
talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But how long do you, the problem is if you wait long enough, then it will no longer be interesting when
you
talk about it. Right?
Yeah.
If you put it off long enough, it won't be interesting, the conversation, when you talk about it.
It's true.
And so it's a dilemma.
It is a dilemma.
How about if it's this? What if it's the very last episode of a TV show? Like, so we have the last Seinfeld.
Oh, like MASH or
the
Seinfeld.
The last Seinfeld.
Or, Friends.
Okay?
Sure.
The last Seinfeld.
That's almost ubiquitous.
Can you talk about
people.
That the next day?
You have to be able to. Now, that is a different one as opposed to a series we're in the middle of right now.
Right. Game of Thrones. But when we get to the last Game of Thrones, which will be at the end of this season, can you talk about that the next day?
I think so.
Of course, it was different because Seinfeld and MASH, you didn't really have the capacity to record it and watch it later. Everybody had to watch it at the same time.
Great point, Jeff. I think that might have changed the rules of engagement, the DVR invention.
I think the last one, you have to watch it with everybody else or have a risk being spoiled the next day.
It's one of the challenges of TV is the DVR.
You have to do it. Anyway, so that's the second thing I wanted to say. And then the third thing I wanted to say had to do with the basketball over the weekend and the
Marc Gasol might be a champion here.
No, I wanted to focus on yesterday's
game. The
Golden State Houston game.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say at the outset that I do believe that James Harden, particularly in the first half, was fouled and calls that were not made. It's simply true.
Klay Thompson was getting under him.
There's no question.
Yes, I agree.
I think on the last play, I think that was a correct no call. Now, I think Steph then clearly fouled Eric Gordon as they were going out of bounds, and that should have been a call. That was a missed call. And then, as much as I don't like Chris Paul, I don't know exactly what he said, I think the tee was a little quick. So, but I think that was a correct no call. I do think the Houston basically had a legitimate gripe there. And in fact, over at The Athletic, there is a piece. What happens is that the whole country gets, they release to the public the last 2 minutes, right? Of the
2 minute report,
right,
the NBA calls
report.
It. Sure. On every game.
But the NBA actually gives teams for their games the entire report.
Okay.
Okay, for the whole game. Now, they don't just grade the last. If it's a Houston Golden State game, Memphis doesn't get to see it, but Houston and Golden State get to see a report of the whole game.
Okay.
Okay, they go back and they grade the whole game in terms of efficiency.
Oh, that's good.
And what Houston has said and leaked to The Athletic is that over the years, they have gotten screwed consistently when they play the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken their fancy analytics department and they've applied it to Warriors games. And they say, if you look at every game between us and the Warriors, We are getting screwed.
Well, and to that point, Golden State strategically is getting in their ass, basically.
Oh, that's true.
That's the
But
strategy.
On the other hand, Houston strategically plays for fouls. I mean, it does.
They're going to have to at this point.
It does. So
that's they're going to have to.
I mean, listen, I hate both teams. And in the lesser of two evils, yeah. I'm rooting for Houston.
Me too.
Just because I'm so sick to hell of Golden State.
I'm so sick to hell of Golden State.
It is hilarious to me that it's like peak KD that on the day after he has a huge game is tremendous. All anyone can talk. No one's talking about him.
No.
They're just talking about these fouls.
Yeah.
Right? But then the larger question arises as to whether – so we have had
– by the way, the Patrick Beverley compliments of KD were something, too, over the weekend, if you missed that.
If you looked at across sports,
mm-hmm.
we have had a whole bunch of officiating controversies, right?
Yeah.
So you had the NFL game.
The
Saints.
All the sports are now in it. Yeah.
Well, we had that one. That
NFL
game was
and the Saints game. Yes.
So that game was 100% screwed.
I follow you now.
The national championship basketball game had a foul that
prominent foul.
I think most people thought it was properly called.
I do too.
But officiating was
the semifinal Virginia travel or the double dribble off the foot thing.
Well, that part wasn't called.
That
but
wasn't
then the
called,
next part was correct.
Yeah, I'm following
called.
You.
But the foul on the three pointer was absolutely correct.
Correct.
But it is interesting.
NHL.
The conversation after the NFC Championship game was all about officiating.
Yep.
The conversation after the national championship game in basketball was all about officiating. The conversation about the Sharks Las Vegas game where
the major
Las Vegas got totally screwed and the NHL that apology almost makes it worse.
They get a
5-minute major penalty, which means that normally, and I said this last week, if a 2-minute penalty when the other team scores, the penalty's then over. The player gets to come back on the ice. A 5-minute major, they can just keep scoring, which they did.
Yeah.
Scored 4 straight goals, and the Sharks advance. Vegas loses.
I hated it.
Then the next day, the NHL says,
"Yeah, we effed it up."
Right. So in the NHL, and by the way, then over the weekend, you may not know this.
No.
The Sharks were complaining because there was a call in the Sharks Avs game that all anyone could talk about was an icing that was not called, et cetera. That one. And then here we are, this game, and all anyone's talking about officiating, right?
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Is the officiating worse? I'll give you three options.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh, we got a poll?
I don't think this is a poll.
Oh, wait. Okay. We'll take
a day
off.
We can try to come up with a poll today. But is the officiating worse?
Yeah.
Or is the scrutiny of it more pronounced because of instant replay?
Mm-hmm.
Or is our discussion of it more amplified because of social media?
I think there's a fourth one, too, and they're all true. Mm-hmm. I think all three of those things are true, are part of it. The fourth one is I think there's some analytics involved. Like, I think Golden State knows exactly what's going on here, and they know they have to foul or borderline force the call. So there's this fourth analytics piece to it. I think they're all true.
Or maybe we're
all
true. Maybe we're just a country of whiners now.
We are a bunch of yes, and people are so
we are just
I hate it.
Is it possible we're just babies?
You have to teach your kids not to talk to referees now when they're little. Because they're so used to people talking. No, my 10-year-old is so used to watching games
and
seeing
people yap at referees.
And it's worse than when you had, like, when I was watching the Cardinals growing up and you'd have the coach come out of the dugout and get, like, Whitey Herzog would get in the face of the umpire, all that stuff and spit on. It's worse than that now because it's almost every call. So when my 10-year-old's watching the game, like last night, he watched the Golden State game or whatever, it's like, "Dad, man, they missed that call." And I'm like, "We don't talk to the referees because if they play, they will immediately start talking to the referees when they're little."
Isn't that interesting? That's what they learn.
They learn it from watching.
And those two of the yappiest teams, Houston
and
Golden State anyway, are just impossible to
begin with. Every play on a layup sometimes, there is a player looking at a referee.
But here's the
truth.
Almost
every play.
Here's the truth. We can say that it's only because of we're whiny, but in the New Orleans game and in the hockey game, those were just egregiously bad calls. I think in any era, even if there weren't Twitter, even if there weren't Facebook, in any era,
those two would have been
what the hell? Because they were game, literally game deciding,
mm-hmm.
totally
well,
blown call.
And for those two calls in particular that you just mentioned, there needs to be a common sense referee that can like swoop in or some
you
sort
want
of
the sky cam.
Well, like in the NFL game, that play is done and it just got whiffed. Somebody has to be able to swoop in and go, that was the worst call ever in football history or whatever. We got to stop.
Just an all-power referee,
yeah,
czar.
Like an overall
an czar.
Like doesn't, the injustice referee.
Injustice referee.
Same with the NHL
same
game.
No, that would not have worked.
Hold up. Maybe 2 minutes.
And there's no limits on what they can. There's nothing. Right. They can just literally apply their judgment.
They are omnipresent, basically. They just swoop in and go.
Omniscient and omniscient. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Not whatever a five-minute major. That's a two-minute penalty.
He just wants a justice.
A justice ref. That's what I want. The box in baseball.
We'll talk to Jeffrey coming up next. I do want to tell you that if you have cracks in the walls of your home, floors that are sinking or sloping a little bit, you know by now, call Redeemers Group. And the great thing about Redeemers Group, well, they're local. A, they're professional. And C, they're free. They'll come out and look at whatever problem you have, whether it's just seriously, look at I wonder if there's a problem there. Call Redeemers Group. They'll come out. They'll give you an estimate. If there is nothing wrong, you'll feel great that you had them out and you know there's nothing wrong. If there is something wrong, if you want your basement sealed up so it stops leaking or whatever else, mention my name, Jeff Calkins. You will get an additional $50 off your repair project. Give them a call, 541-8765, 541-8765, or on the web, redeemersgroup.com. We got Jeffrey will join us next. We'll talk a little bit about the NFL draft, and Chris Harrington will join us. Talk a little bit about the NBA. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis has the unicorn players. 92.9 has the unicorn cash. Listen at the top of every hour for the code word. Text that word to 72881. Data message rates apply. National contest. You could win the unicorn cash. Crazy good players. Crazy amounts of cash for you.
That's crazy.
Win $1,000 every hour.
Yeah!
Saddle up. It's Unicorn Cash every hour. Weekdays, 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookston, the owner, has won 8 world championships, so she sets the standard high. Ribs are cooked multiple times per day to give guests fresh from the cooker quality, and when you order a pulled pork sandwich, the pork is hand-pulled right then and not a moment earlier. If you've been to Memphis Barbecue Company, you know it's legit. If you haven't been, go. It's at 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Check them out on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Who wants to drive an ugly, boring car? Nobody. Who wants to walk around Collierville Auto Center with me? Everybody. I'm looking at BMWs, Range Rovers, Mercedes, even Porsche. That's why I call this Collierville Auto Center the Dream Center. I'm looking at one fine Ferrari right here. That's right, if you can dream it, you can find it right here in Collierville on West Poplar, just past Highway 72. Tahoes, Jeeps, Lexus, and Infiniti. What you want for road trips and summer, Audi to Escalade. Makes no difference who you are. Dreams really do come true at Collierville Auto Center. Voted best used car dealership in Memphis. Fun to visit. People fly in and drive in all the time. Ask for Jeff, he'll make it quick and easy. And Sam will get the best financing for you, 100% guaranteed. If you can dream it, you can drive it today. Collierville Auto Center on West Poplar or go to ColliervilleAutoCenter.com.
JJ Hottail here. As an ex-professional race car driver, I'm used to taking risks, which isn't always so good when it comes to driving off the track.
Uh-oh.
But that's why I'm insured by Direct Auto and Life Insurance. I can get a great rate regardless of my driving history. They understand that nobody's perfect. Hello, officer. Save up to 25% with discounts at Direct Auto. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT or visit directgeneral.com today.
Direct General Group, Nashville. Rates vary. Discounts subject to limitations, terms, and conditions. How you buy impacts cost.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. and they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
Down home, a full meal deserves full flavor. Right now, feast on Church's spicy tenders with fries, biscuit, jalapeno pepper, and an apple pie. That's full belly bliss for just $5.
Church's, bringing that down home flavor.
Offer valid at participating locations.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Who they want? Jeff Calkins. 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 Who they want?
Jeff Calkins. Michael Zellner is where you can save 50 to 80% off retail store prices every single day of the week.
I actually talked to someone over the weekend who bought a mattress.
Yeah.
Did not go to Sleepy C's Mattress
and
Furniture by Michael Zellner.
Big mistake. You paid too much.
I made him feel bad.
Well, they probably paid too much.
Because they
I know they paid too much.
They paid too much.
Those things are stupid at some of those
stores. Wherever we, oh, no, you go into some mattresses and like
stupid.
$7,000 for this mattress. And by the way, if you go into one of those stores and you say Jeff Calkins, they'll look at you like you're just crazy. Whereas if you say Jeff Calkins is Sleepy Z's Mattress and Furniture by Michael Zeller, you know what they'll do? They'll give you an additional 10% off.
There you go.
Right. Like you walk in a department store and say, I'd like this mattress, Jeff Calkins. Nothing.
No.
You get nothing out of that. No, yeah, right.
Who they want?
You're already getting 50 to 80% off. Plus, you say my name, you get more off. Mm-hmm. That's why it's been the best mattress store 2015, 16, 17, and 18. That's why if you go over to Better Business Bureau and look at the reviews from, like, real people, yeah. They got more positive reviews than any mattress or furniture store in the Mid-South. Sleepy C's located. 2790 Kirby Winton Road, the corner of Summer Avenue, right next to Hollywood Feed. Give him a call, 692-6200. Sleepy Z's by Michael Zellner, where you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed. All right, joined now by the hardworking Jeffrey Wright. Jeffrey, how are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Are you ready to step in? Interim, who are the famous interims in this world? You know, you're going to become an interim. You got the... Yeah.
Isn't my goal is to be Ty Lue, right? I mean, didn't Ty Lue win the title as an interim head coach?
Ty Lue, come in.
I think by the time he won
was
it,
he an interim?
He was interim, and then by the time he won it, I think he might have been permanent, right?
Because they
have to look at the role.
I know that Blatt.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could be Matt Luke. You could be Matt Luke. He was an interim.
Oh, yes.
Now, he didn't last.
Yeah,
he
didn't, look, but I actually have personality.
Oh man!
Oh, wah, wah.
Well, and in Connor, you got probably a better roster too.
Yeah, like,
I guess what you want to do is you want to be Dabo, but Dabo's interim season wasn't actually when he took over for Tommy Bowden. Like, it wasn't super productive. I think he went like 5-3, but. I mean, basically what he convinced them of was I'm the cheap option and I'm going to work like a dog.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess that's the model. I mean, that's how, you know, they don't ask how you got the head coaching job. Yep. They just ask if. And then at that point, it's up to you to make them never, you know, to make them take the interim tag off you.
Yeah, you could be.
You haven't even started recruiting yet.
You could be Tony.
No, you could be
Tony Barone, though. Like, that was a disaster.
Oh, well, see, but I love Tony Barone.
Yeah, what?
I will say Tony Barone was arguably the most effective Memphis Grizzlies head coach of all time because he had one job and one job only. It was to lose games, but to also be exciting enough for people to actually like want to come and watch.
I forget. What did they draft? I don't know what happened that year. They must have lost enough. Who did they get as a result?
That was the year that got them the – of course, they seemed to beat.
Is that true?
Oh,
Barone
no.
led that so – he won enough games
–
he put him in position. Yeah. He put him in position, and they just blew the call.
That's what she said.
Right.
He was part of it.
To lose the games, right?
Yeah.
And then to blow the draft pick. But
it is funny. Nobody talked about tanking then. Like if you look back at it, you would have said people would have accused those Grizzlies of tanking the
the hell out of it, right? And
oh, there's no question.
But no one, tanking wasn't an accusation that people used to make.
No, I think you brought up a really fascinating question at the end of last segment. So in terms of, is it, are we doing things differently today, or are we just, are we reacting and overreacting, and therefore, I mean, everything's still operating the same way, you know, in by and large, but is the reaction what has changed?
I mean, there's been bad calls for forever, right?
I mean, well, think about this. This is the point that I would make. Think about, because last week when we were discussing the most clutch plays in Memphis sports history, you know, we didn't even bring up the fact that on the kickoff, on Cobb's kickoff return against Tennessee, he was down. You know, if we have instant replay,
I will say we did have instant replay. We did they had invented instant replay by the time Cobb was down, and Tennessee fans were arguing that he was down.
Wasn't high def, though.
Right.
We literally had instant replay. Now, we didn't have Twitter, they had invented instant replay by the time Cobb's knee was down.
And see what
it wasn't his knee. What was it? It wasn't his knee. It was his elbow? Mm-hmm. What was it?
It was his side. I mean, he was kind of laying on his side at one point. I mean, you know what I mean? When you slow it down.
He wasn't down. He floated.
It was a very strategic.
He was not down. If it was down, they would have called it.
Yeah.
He was not
exactly.
down.
But the larger point that I would make is most Tennessee fans, when the first thing they talk about that game is they want to stop talking about it, but they kind of accept that Tennessee lost to Memphis. But it feels like now whenever we talk about the NFC Championship game, the first thing everyone's going to talk about is the blatant pass interference. And, you know, there were other – that's the other thing. In that NFL report, there were other missed calls that went for the Saints in their favor. But,
isn't it true that the immaculate reception for some reason – I don't know what would have happened there.
It hit the ground, right? I think after the tip, it hit the ground, and then he kind of, he picked it up off the turf. It was probably incomplete, yes.
Anyway, it is interesting that it just so happens that in every major sport now, the thing that we have been talking about, and I don't think it's partly just coincidence, because it was a horrendous bad call in hockey, and it was a horrendously bad call in the Saints game. It's not just because we had instant replay. It's what we were instant replaying of. What we were looking at was egregious and game-changing. And that doesn't happen all the time, that you have an egregious game-changing
also
bad
major
call.
League, not a pocket SEC game or a regional college
yeah,
game.
Yeah, this is the biggest game, major, egregious, game-changing, blown call.
Right.
You don't
see those every year.
The other thing that I think I would like to add for further consideration is, you know, I do kind of agree with Brad in terms of now there's so much information out there. For the Warriors, I do think that they are scheming to play to where I do think there's that. But I think another element of it, this doesn't so much exist for the NFC Championship game, but I thought Mark Cuban made the point last night. He's like, the way that the rule is written, it is written poorly. And I do think that another big aspect, part of these big calls we're seeing is so many of these calls, we've overreacted to situations that happened during the year, and now we've written these rules that are so litigious, and it's like you either got to go by this exact writing. We're seeing it a lot now with these new golf rules that everyone was complaining forever and ever about these golf rules. And so now they've added 7 or 8 new rules that sound, when you read them out loud, it feels like they were written by, a group of lawyers. And now no one really knows exactly.
Well, it's like the catch rule. What the hell is it?
Yep.
Okay, I want to move on to the draft, though. All right, Jeffrey. So onward to the draft. First, your thoughts on where the two Memphis players ended up. Darrell Henderson in Los Angeles. I mean, Darrell Henderson, in Los Angeles, and Tony Pollard in Dallas.
I think for Darrell Henderson, when we first started talking about, okay, we knew Darrell was going pro, to me, I kept saying, you know, if he gets in a system like Sean Hayes or like Mike Shanahan or Kyle Shanahan, beg your pardon, Kyle Shanahan, if he gets in one of these systems, like that is the ultimate like dream scenario, because those guys are so good at, okay, when the average NFL scout looks at Daryl Henderson, he doesn't say, well, that's a for sure running back. Sean McVay, by all reports, like, is obsessed with Daryl Henderson. And if you're going to be drafted and not be a first round pick, I think the most important aspect for you to have success in your career is to have a coach that believes in you and have a coach that thinks of you as a new toy. And he can't wait, you know, it's the first drive out with a new car, and you know, he can't wait to go get out on the 6-lane freeway and open it up. And I think that's absolutely perfect. And then, as you pointed out,
well, it's funny with the fact that you give up 2/3 to go to move up 24 spots to get him again, it's a reason. It demonstrates that they wanted him in particular. But then, what does it say about Todd Gurley? There's some thoughts that he may have an arthritic knee, and that would be chronic, and therefore we would be seeing the, if not the end of Todd Gurley. You certainly see a split role with Todd Gurley and Daryl Henderson.
Yeah, I think if you're a Rams fan, you're not exactly jumping for joy based on Todd Gurley. You know, if you're trying to do the...
Oh, no.
Jeffrey, we're having a... Oh, there we go. Signal's a little shoddy. Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah, you're right.
Keep going.
I'm going to pull over here so we make sure that we make sure that everyone gets these oven fresh out of the oven takes.
Yeah, right.
for me and Gurley, you know, the cap hit is huge, so you have to be worried about that, because not only is Todd Gurley awesome, and at this point he would perhaps not be playing, further, the cap hit's huge, but I think the arthritis thing has to be considered, because if you notice, like, when I think everyone with their eyeballs knew Todd Gurley was hurt in the playoffs, but no one, like, there weren't any reports, like, nothing, you know, it's like, oh, it wasn't a knee, you know, it wasn't ligaments, it wasn't anything. So arthritis thing makes sense, because that's probably not something that just shows up on, you know, what they're testing for, and it's a pain tolerance thing. So you have to be, if you're a Rams fan, you have to be concerned. But if you're Daryl Henderson, you know, hey, man, that's
well, no, you're exactly right. I think the decision to draft Daryl Henderson, if you're a Rams fan, you're like, woohoo, we got Daryl Henderson. That's good. But the bad part is, this means that Todd Gurley, there's something wrong. You don't, if you've got the best running back in the league, you don't give up 2/3 to move up 24 spots to get another running back. And you don't, when the Detroit tries to sign Malcolm Brown, you don't match him, whatever. To me, it's clear sign that something's up with Todd Gurley. Tony Pollard?
Well, it's like the same thing with the Chiefs taking Mecole Hardman.
Right. I was going to get
like
to that.
5'10", really fast guy. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, the Chiefs, the fact that they take Hardman, who is a punt returner, gadget blazer guy, is suggest that they're worried about Tyreek Hill and what's going to happen with him, as they should be, by the way. Like, that organization has certainly said, you know, screw character, right? I mean, they just have.
And I mean, basically, we make the Bengals jokes, but I mean, I do think the Chiefs, I think they've overtaken that title. Like, I do think the Chiefs are the new Bengals.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. All right, Tony Pollard in Dallas.
For Tony Pollard, I think you're 100% right. We kept wondering, okay, you need a team to believe in him in terms of playmaker. And if a team was trying to say, well, we want this guy to be, you know, a true wide receiver, a true running back and whatnot, I don't know if you could really find someone that would believe in him like that. But when Dallas has already come out and said, you know, we have these visions of him being the changeup, for the changeup for Ezekiel Elliott, you know, we plan on using him in the return game and whatnot. Like, if you're Tony Pollard, that's, again, that's another great thing to hear. And I think the larger point is, you know, both these guys could have come back to school. And oftentimes, you know, I believe we saw, I think, 49 guys, early entries, didn't end up even getting drafted. But if you're both Tony Pollard and Daryl Henderson, I don't think there's any question. You made the right decision for yourself.
No, absolutely. They ended up in perfect situations for various reasons, absolutely perfect situations, and they went about as high as you could possibly have imagined them going. And then the other thing that's interesting is that no one resents that Daryl Henderson sat out the bowl game. You know, I mean, there's literally none of that. We've sort of matured as a fan base, as a people, not as just a Memphis fan base, but just generally. I do think that's, you do wish the kid well, and you, there was nothing but happiness on their behalf. So, all right, moving on. Dolphins do finally acquire Josh Rosen. That must have made you sick because you would have preferred your Giants to do that. They'd get him for just a second and a fifth. And then I'll be honest, I thought Josh Rosen, who was getting a lot of criticism for being a pouter, for having unfollowed, after they drafted Kyle Murray, he unfollowed the Redskins, et cetera. But then in the wake of being traded, he made a very funny video, a thank you video to Cardinals fans, et cetera, and said, by the way, Kyle Murray, I know this condo that's suddenly available. And then he's hung around for Larry Fitzgerald's celebrity softball game. And he not only hung around, he won the home run derby and the MVP. For a guy who's supposed to be a selfish, evil monster, I thought he actually handled himself remarkably well, and I don't like him going to the Dolphins, I'll be completely honest, for such a cheap price.
Yeah, I just, anytime you start seeing the reports of this guy's a pouter, or anytime it's negative in regards to essentially the mental makeup of someone, I immediately have to apply context. Okay, well, the Arizona Cardinals decided, it appears well before the NFL Combine, that Kyler Murray is going to be their guy. Well, you just drafted a first rounder last year at the quarterback position. You traded up to get him. And, like, to me, like, the first thing that you're going to see is defamation of a guy's character, because they have to justify getting rid of this guy and quitting on a guy. This is the first time, I believe, since the NFL merger that a first-round quarterback's been traded a year after he was drafted. But I keep looking back to what happened to him last year in games. I mean, Chuck, he got absolutely pummeled for 13 weeks. I mean, just absolutely just vicious hit. I mean, they absolutely were keying off on him. He got up every time. Like, at a certain point, you either buy the narrative or not. And the Cardinals are a bad franchise for a reason. Like, and I never bought into this idea that Josh Rosen is some, like, I never really bought into that he is as big of a prick as certain narratives around him were. Because, you know, I think he's clearly young. I mean, he's 21, and so there's not many NFL franchises that have dealt with someone his age. And I do think he has a strong personality and whatnot. And so he might rub people the wrong way. Yes, he's not a football robot. But this idea that, like, he doesn't love football, that he's a whiner, that he's, like, I don't know. Like, the games that I've watched, that has never been the conclusion that I've drawn.
The fact that the Cards went out then and ended, they added Andy Isabella and Hakeem Butler to help Kyler Murray shows that they're sort of aware that that the offense needed a little sprucing up around Josh Rosen as well. I do think one of the more ham-handed things that we've seen was just basically the Cardinals and how they managed this whole thing by by damaging the reputation of Josh Rosen by taking him out of the highlight videos, by then trying to insist that they were not trading him in a sort of last-ditch effort to get more for him. It's no surprise that they didn't get more for him. All right, I want to move on. I liked, just to rattle through some of these teams, I'll be honest, I really liked what the Titans did. They get Jeffrey Simmons with the torn ACL, so he won't necessarily play this year, but he'll be really good when he does play. They get A.J. Brown, who I like a lot, and they got Nate Davis, a guard, who I like a lot. I think I like what the Titans did. You?
I completely agree. Oftentimes, you know, you and I think have talked about this on the show, where you'll always hear the narrative from the front office of, well, we never draft for need. We draft for best available guy. You can make a case that the Titans at every point in which they had the opportunity to make a pick, there was someone that would have said that guy's the highest ranked guy on the board, And if you're a Titans fan, to me, that is way more reassuring than, okay, well, we need a wide out and let's go reach for, or, you know, hey, our pass rush wasn't quite as good. Let's just take a defensive end to take a defensive end. Like, at a certain point, acquire talent and then change your quote unquote your system to fit that. I mean, that's what the Patriots have been doing essentially for 15, 20 years.
Right. Denver, by the way, I like what Denver, I don't know if I, what I think about Noah Fant or Dalton Reisner, who are good players first and second. The fact that they got Drew Lock and didn't have to get him in the first round, it's funny. I look back at it. I think if Paxton had been in that position where you're drafted, but you don't have the pressure of being a first round pick, it allows you to just be a guy. And so he's going to go there and he's going to be the backup to Flacco, and he can just, Drew Lock can just be a guy. I know he didn't want to drop, but not going into the first round, I actually think makes it a better situation for him.
No, I completely agree, because oftentimes when you're a first-round pick, I think I saw the stat over the weekend of the last, you know, of the last 17 or 18 of them, I think essentially, you know.
He's dead again.
We lost you again.
There we are. We lost you again.
Yeah, you're thrust into a position where they want to play you. You're not ready to play, and then the position is so confident. Like, it's, confidence is such an integral part of playing quarterback that once you just start doubting yourself, like, you and I have talked about this. Like, the part of the reason why I think Tom Brady is Tom Brady is Tom Brady, no one believes in Tom Brady more than Tom Brady. And so I think when you start putting guys, into positions where they're not going to have success, they're early, you feel like you have to play them, you waste their first-round pick on them, I think it shoots their confidence. And unless you get another opportunity in a good situation, like, your fate's already just kind of written early. And
it's sort of funny. I was talking, Barrett Jones spoke at the Boys and Girls Club thing, former, obviously, Alabama offensive lineman who then had a pro career and is now doing finance stuff in Memphis, as well as working for the SEC Network, and ESPN does games. And I one of the things that's always, I guess I tend to, like, even in basketball, Chris Harrington is always talking about teams that can develop players, young players, and not just identify. Like, is San Antonio really good at identifying or whatever?
Right, yeah. What is it?
I tend to fall on the side of, come on, man. If you're going to be a good player, you're going to be a good player. And in that debate, I tend to err on the side of, good players are going to be good players. But I was talking to Barrett Jones about it, and I said, do you think where you land makes much of a difference? And he said, it makes an enormous difference. He said, you cannot believe what a difference it makes where you land. And that's not for a quarterback. He just meant that generally.
Any player.
It just makes a huge difference where you land.
Take the fact that, take Jared Goff. You know, Jared Goff under Jeff Fisher, everyone's talking about, you know, what a bust. All of a sudden, he didn't have to move teams, but all of a sudden, new regime comes in. You got a coach that believes in him,
yep,
because that was part of the reason why McVay wanted the Rams job when he took it, was he believed in Jared Goff. And so you believe in a guy, and all of a sudden, you know, he didn't have the greatest Super Bowl, but Jared Goff, in particular in the NFC Championship game, was making throw after throw, taking huge shots. I mean, I do think that really, really matters.
Yeah. Anyone else that you particularly liked or were frustrated by? Observations from the draft?
Well, as is tradition, I don't know if you felt the same way, but I keep feeling like every time I look at Jacksonville and look at their drafts, I go, I like what they did. But at a certain point, after 4 or 5 years of doing that, is the joke on me?
No, that's a good. No. Listen, Josh Allen, Juwan Taylor is a good draft. That's a good draft. The joke is on you only because they don't have a quarterback. It's in the end they never had a quarterback. Now they might. We don't know. But there's a limit. You can do whatever you want with the rest of your roster. If you don't have a quarterback, it's not gonna all come together. It finally comes together when you have a quarterback. And this year they might. I'm with you. I liked what they did. I hate to say this, the freaking Patriots.
Every year, it's the same thing. They get 73 picks every year.
They get N'Keal Harry. They got JoJuan Williams. They get Chase Winovich. They got Damian Harris. They get Kajus, the tackle from West Virginia. They
like, it just feels like they load up with six really good players. And why they're supposed to pick last and suck, and they don't ever.
They loaded up with six guys that you know will have five year careers with the Pats. They're only going to end up paying one of them. They'll determine who's the most necessary. They'll pay that one, and then they're going to let the rest of them get overpaid somewhere else, and then we're just going to have to continue and have to deal with the reign of terror.
And N'Keal Harry is not Gronk, but he'll play a little. He's not a tight end. But he'll play a little bit the same role in that he's a big dude who you can throw contested balls to and he'll go get them. And so, again, different position, but he'll play that role a little bit. Last question on all of this. Were you jealous of Nashville when you watched that unfold? I mean, there they were. Listen, everybody raved for three straight days. What they said was, listen, we've had drafts before. We've had them, and now he started moving it around. But nobody has ever done the draft like Nashville. So given the historic rivalry, were you jealous of Nashville? Were you scornful of Nashville? Did it not bother you either way? How did you feel did you have any pangs? How did you feel watching Nashville absolutely shine, which you have to say it did, in the national spotlight?
My feelings towards Nashville, I feel like, and I guess maybe everyone tries to justify their certain feelings, but I do feel like I did not start this war with Nashville. Nashville started this by just being, every single time, like, I never thought about Nashville growing up. You know what I mean? No one ever had to tell me about Nashville growing up. Like, I never...
Wasn't this Nashville-Memphis thing growing up.
They have an ego? Is that what you're saying,
No,
Jeffrey?
Or is it because... they've started to, let's be honest, in growth, in significance, they've started
even
to
more
totally
badasses.
Outstrip... They've totally started to outstrip Memphis. It's just true. It doesn't mean...
I'm not even someone that... I don't... Like, yes, I think if you're... By almost every metric in which you'd rate a city, Nashville has outgrown Memphis. But by the same token, like, my deal of Memphis and Nashville was, I never felt like, whenever there was in competition with Nashville and Memphis, I always just heard someone from Nashville pipe in with just an insult out of Memphis. Like, it was like they would go out of their way just to insult Memphis. And so that is where my eye rolling started, because I'm under no preconceived notions. I don't have, like, I'm not in denial that Memphis is something that it's not. But by the same token, they are completely in denial that Nashville is something that it's not. And it just feels like a massive PR campaign. And I think that's, in reality, where my distaste comes from. It has, Nashville has cool things. If Nashville were half as cool as any transplant that moved to Nashville shoves down your throat of how cool Nashville is, it'd be somewhere between Paris and Tokyo.
I'll be honest. I think Nashville is a nice city. They're dealing with growth issues that they have, growth challenges. It's a different kind of challenge than what Memphis has. Their challenges are people are being displaced. They can't afford housing. There's too much traffic. It's what comes when you get too much of a good thing.
Right. Well,
and
that's what happens when you have an overdeveloped place.
The profile of being generally, if you're going to be stereotypical, they do fit the profile of being kind of white bros, right? I mean, it's just true.
Yes.
So, all right. Jeffrey, we'll let you get here because you got 2 hours of work to do later today. Good luck with the interim status. As for the rest of you, it is time to call Affordable Blinds of Memphis. Let's see. So far, Ron Olson, Howie came from Irwin Jewelers, John Martin. And I love
Our whole brand here.
Here, what actually happens is when you endorse something and then your friends go there, that's the true test, right? Do you want your – and the truth is absolutely. I recommend to all people that I've met or not that they go to Affordable Blinds of Memphis, whether they want plantation shutters, whether they want those new fantastic mobile blinds where you can tell Alexa to open them up and the sun will come pouring in, whether you want the cordless blinds, whether you want the outdoor shutters, which will transform the way your house, just give Chip Wiggins from Affordable Blinds a call. He'll come out, give you an estimate, measure everything,
And within 1 to 3 weeks, the whole thing can be done. Phone number 753-5822. Go check out for yourself on their Facebook page, which is Affordable Blinds and Shutters Facebook page, and you can see videos of the kind of things they have. So you don't even have to, there's no commitment there. Just go take a look at their Facebook page. Again, or at 753-5822 or affordableblindsatmemphis.com. When we come back, Chris Harrington will join us on the Grizzlies, Tayshaun Prince, and the NBA. It's Jeff Gawkins, Joe, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. A radio.com sports station. This is 92.9 FM ESPN.
Unicorn Cash Word is coming up in 4 minutes. Unicorn Cash Word. We'll give you a cash word in 4 minutes. Hang on.
Hey there, bud. What's with the shocked look?
Oh, hey, Amy. I still can't believe Xfinity lets me choose from crazy fast internet speeds and pick the types of channels I want.
Yep. Now Xfinity lets you customize your package and save.
I know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.